Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to another Friday night segment of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, we're going to ask you to please click tag share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And we're about to talk to Reggie Ruffin with Just Cause about a situation he's got going on with the city of Dallas, the Dallas Police Department, and why it got to the point that he had to sue them, or is currently suing them, I guess I should say. Anyway, we're going to talk about that as well as hot topics. Boy, there's a lot going on in Fort Worth, y'all. This week, we do know that there was a hit-and-run situation. I believe it was last Sunday where Josiah JoJo Dunn was involved in a hit-and-run accident. Where someone hit him and kept going. It turned into a real tense situation over there on Strong Street as the family pursued the suspect, went to his home, and was demanding that the police come and make an arrest. We're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to also talk about the fact that the Tatiana Jefferson mural, lots going on with that. We understand the building has been sold. and a young entrepreneur allegedly has bought the building and is saying that he's going to provide a job opportunity or opportunities, I guess I should say. But it's very interesting right now. They have something blocking pretty much half of the mural where you can't see it. But we're going to talk more about that in a little bit. But just very interesting with the trial being so close that the building would be sold. So we're going to talk about that tonight. But I see Mr. Ruffin is on the line. And also, y'all, listen, we're going to talk about that budget thing, whatever that was last night, where they called themselves breaking down the budget. And I'm not saying they didn't, but it wasn't clear enough, I guess, for the layperson to really follow, if you will, and show that part. So we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. And then we're going to talk about the fact that the 2022 bond package is coming up, and Councilwoman Gina Bivens is going to come on with us next week and talk about it. She was scheduled previously and had to reschedule due to the fact that she had some type of surgery, and there were some complications with that. So I am going to open up the lines with Mr. Ruffin. Good evening, Reggie. How are you?
All right. Good evening, Carrie.
How you doing?
Well, right now I'm commuting back to the house. I tried to get off work as early as I could, but, you know, when you're working around somebody else's schedule, you have to improvise and always have to make do no matter what. So that's what this is right now.
Okay. Okay. We'll make it real quick then. So tell us what's going on with your situation. First of all, you're a founder of Just Cause. And Just Cause, if you would give us a breakdown as to what your organization Just Cause does.
Well, the Just Cause Coalition, what we do is we try to offer help for those who can't really afford to get attorneys and try to deal with issues dealing with the police because, you know, on this side of town, you know, south of I-30, we're preyed upon by the city on numerous things, whether it's code enforcement issues, whether it's run-ins with the law, things like this. Back in 2009, I got arrested and charged with a deadly conduct case as a result of a disgruntled woman coming to my house and threatening me with a gun. And then when I fire a warning shot in self-defense, I'm the one to go to jail despite the fact she had four prior felonies on her record. And,
wow.
From that Monique Sampson case, eventually the case got dismissed, but it wasn't until I had to take matters in my own hands as far as trying to get the charges dismissed because clearly it was self-defense involved, but all the police look at it, then, of course, even the DA's office, all they look at is, hey, which case is more winnable, a woman committing a felony against a man or a man committing a felony against a woman, especially a black.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens on that is that it took over a year for me to get that case dismissed. And of course, it did dismiss because the woman did come by, and everything she said on the police report added up. But the detectives handling the case were trying to be spiteful because they knew they had no legal rights to confiscate anything, much less file criminal charges, but they did. And so about a few months after that, another girlfriend I was involved in, got into arguing with her, broke up with her, and when I moved out, she called the police, said I assaulted her son. And, of course, here come the police with that same old beat again. So to make a long story short, that one turned into a long, drawn-out process. I had to go all the way to trial on that one, and I won my case because I got acquitted because clearly you cannot file an injury to a child case on something when corporal punishment is exempt from law. Section 37-1-102 of the Texas Penal Code prohibits prosecution based upon corporal punishment. So these are the things I had to learn while trying to fight my own defense. So after that, I started my own organization, trying to help others that's dealing with these type of issues, because the criminal justice is making billions off other people's grief. And the one thing that they do rely upon is people not being aware of the law, you know, because 98% of most cases never go to trial. They go to plea bargains. And people can actually plead themselves into prison without even having a hearing about whether they was even innocent or guilty in the first place. You know, just as we saw with Bill Cosby.
Right. So, okay, so that's why you started Just Cause. And so then your situation with the Dallas Police Department began when?
Well, it started back in 2009, and it still continues to this day. The most recent one I'm dealing with now started 2 years ago. I was having some issues with a next-door neighbor who, I guess out of some type of pettiness and spite, decided to try to pick a fight with my stepdad about him parking his pickup truck in front of his house while he's cutting his grass. I mean, it's on a public street. It wasn't blocking no one's driveway. It wasn't, it wasn't a hindrance to anybody. It just, for some reason, it just decided to make him a little upset about it. So the police came out there, and then I reported what had happened and everything. And then about a couple of weeks later, same stuff happens again. And then, but each time, this individual kept, trying to start a fight, and they would, the police get called, but the police would not arrest him, despite the fact that, his name's Clyde Chapman, and despite the fact that the man has several felonies on his record, even he was on parole at the time for two counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and possession of a controlled substance, which the police claimed they did not know at the time, but yet and still, you can pull it up on any website on Spokio, and there it is. It's a criminal past. But the police claim they didn't know all this. So this police officer named Krishanda Copeland started coming over to the house, hassling me about my car. I had a 1988 Mercury Cooper. And they said the car had to be moved every 24 hours, which, of course, is, like, beyond ludicrous, because I'm like, who really moves their car every 24 hours? And if they do, I guess that means if I go out of town for the weekend and leave the car can get towed. But we'll get back to that momentarily. But on June 4th, 2019, Officer Copeland came by the house and put a sticker on my car, claiming that if the car doesn't get moved, it'll be towed in 24 hours. And she told my dad that, I would have to move the car a little bit here, a little bit back, or something like that. So what I did was I took a video of the whole situation, got in the car, and drove it to show them that the car worked. They thought, because of the 88 Mercury Cougar and had a very shabby paint job, that the car didn't run. But at the end of the day, the car ran better than most of the police cars. Got a brand new 5.0 motor in it. So, gave the demonstration. So I parked in front of the neighbor's house. Since I said I had to move the car, so I parked it over there. So neighbor came out, wanted to fight. And then as we were recording the scuffle, he's actually telling on himself that he called the police and told them about everything. Because everything that Officer Copeland quoted was told by Mr. Chapman. So Chapman basically just hung himself on that one. So when we turned that into the city, nothing was done on that one either. But a month later, on July the 4th, 2019, both my Suzuki Forenza and my Mercury Cougar both got towed, and they claimed it was because the cars were abandoned, despite the fact there was a construction project going on at our intersection right there, Sunnyvale and Exeter. And
okay, let me stop you. So to be clear, you live on the same street that the cars were towed from?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
And they were running. Both cars were running.
Both cars were running, yes.
Did they have up-to-date tags on them?
Well, one of the tag on the Suzuki was expired, but that's still not an incident. I mean, it's not a reason for towing the car. Unless now, if I was driving the car with no insurance and no registration, yeah, they could tow it. But the car is parked, so you're doing a sting operation on parked cars. But the Suzuki Forenza was. I had a mechanic that was supposed to be doing some work on that car, which I'm suing him now for because he guaranteed the motor for a year. He sold me a junk motor, and the motor didn't work. So I'm in court arguing about that one now. But as far as the Cougar goes, the Cougar had permanent license plates on them. They were registered in Mississippi, but cars that are antiques are exempt from a yearly registration. You can get permanent registration on them, register them as an antique. So the car being they had no reason.
I'm sorry. So why did they tow the cars, both cars? Why did they tow both cars?
Well, I guess they saw an opportunity to beautify Dallas by cleaning the streets with my cars. But at the end of the day, it turned out to be a very petty and very vindictive situation. Because when Ms. Copeland put the sticker on my Cougar back in June, my dad told her and warned her, if you end up getting sued behind this or you get charges filed on you, don't say I didn't warn you. So, hey, she was like, go ahead, bring it on then. And see,
okay,
the reason
so she,
why I come back to that point.
Before she towed the car, she had been warned that, you know, they were your cars and they were, you know, okay to be there, and she still chose to tow the cars.
Right, but see, she didn't do it that way. Back in June, she came by and put a sticker on there, and we responded. In July, on the 4th of July, she towed both the cars, didn't put stickers on before they went to the impound yard, and because she never put a sticker on there, but she claimed on her police report that she came by on July the 3rd and put stickers on there, which, of course, was a lie, and we was able to prove that. And on top of that, it's also known that federal law prohibits police from riding around neighborhoods, marking tires, and towing cars away. That's a violation of the Fourth Amendment.
Uphill in
Flint, Michigan, Taylor, this is the city of Flint.
So what is your belief is her reason for, you know, picking or singling you out to mess with your vehicle?
Well, so state law prohibits or anyone from seizing vehicles without a court order. Unless the cars was involved in an accident or they was blocking traffic or they was impeding someone's progress in some way, then you can, by right, tow a car. But
Why were you singled out if according to the law everything was okay with your vehicle being there? Why did she single you out to tow two of your cars at the same time?
Because of me being a civil rights activist, I have filed complaints against police on the behalf of other citizens for what they've done to others. I've sued the police for the two times they tried to prosecute me. Back in 2009, 2011. So it's always been a vendetta on me, and they just do things like this on the regular just to try to get to me.
Didn't someone take a shot at you recently?
Well, someone did a couple of months ago, and that's something that we're trying to investigate now. But of course, it's gonna be kind of hard to investigate a shooting that occurred on dark bus, and the person that was shot, it was me, and then it's also the same precinct and the same department where the rogue police officer Copeland is. And it seems like the South Central Division's had a lot of bad run-ins with police misconduct. Seems like there seems to be a little cesspool of corruption going on.
So are you saying you believe the police took took the shot at you, or do you believe it's connected?
Well, yeah, I believe it is connected because they've been delaying my hearings and delaying my case for the lawsuit that I filed against Keshonda Copeland and the police department. Well, not only for them stealing my cars, but then for them for the harassment that I've been subjected to and my family has been subjected to. So, yeah,
wow.
It's all connected.
Wow. There's no suspects in the shooting. Has the police department even investigated the crime?
Of the individual that was shooting that day, and then I did submit a license plate. I did have an interview. Mighty funny. The only person I've talked to lately has been an officer from the ATF. All of a sudden, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms is all over this case. So I've talked with them, with my attorney present, and of course we ain't heard anything back since then. It has been assigned to a detective who I did speak with, but the thing about it is here in Dallas, crimes are being taken very, very lightly because they're so understaffed and undermanned to handle any cases. And as far as they're concerned, it's like, well, no one died, so what's the point of even pursuing? Duck Bus has cameras, and they could look on those cameras to see who the person was.
Oh, they did not look at the bus cameras?
I don't know what they've done, because when you call and ask them what are they doing, they're going to say it's under investigation. That's going to be the end of it. So I don't know.
So does the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms typically investigate shootings in like within a city limit? I mean, it's just a shooting where nobody was harmed. I mean, not taking lightly your shooting, but I'm just saying, does that agency typically investigate those type of shootings?
They do. That's news to me. But I mean, we got DPS running around the neighborhood trying to investigate stuff. So I mean, they're trying to, sublease help any way they can. And, in the meantime, you know, they have stalled the lawsuit as best as they can. And then a couple weeks ago, the judge that's presiding over the case filed a ruling that the city must do mediation. Mm-hmm. They have been avoiding mediation for a year because it's clear they did violate the law, and it's been proven that Officer Copeland violated the law. But the police department isn't going to act on any disciplinary action until the case is resolved in court. So she's going to try to way, some way, somehow manage to keep her job. She just made a foolish decision, risking her pension and her career on two cars that was like, you know, wasn't mine anyway, wasn't bothering nobody, and there wasn't no one's no grief. You know, you got yourself involved in stealing two cars, and now you're trying to use the city to get you out of the problem that you got yourself in. You know, because she lied and claimed she didn't know anything about me.
So let me understand, you say not only did they tow the cars, they also sold the cars, and when you tried to trace where the cars went, you can't even find them?
No. They have deleted the VIN numbers on both cars out the system, despite the fact I have a copy of the inventory list they sent me saying that they had possession of the cars before they sold them. So the only people who had them was the city of Dallas.
Wow.
You know, like I said, this thing has gotten beyond sinister. And then what's so sad, my own city councilwoman only gave me one phone call just to let me know that she's aware of what's going on, then asked if I had any insurance. And I'm going like, you know, I mean, we're we're definitely seeing what we're getting for our money's worth, because we're not getting represented properly by our representatives unless it's something they can try to build a name on, just like the misfortune of the elderly lady who was murdered the other week. You know, she calls 911, try to get help. Hell even comes, and then the next day she's dead.
Wow.
So it's like, I mean, it's a vicious cycle we're dealing with over here in South Oak Cliff.
So, I mean, I don't even, you know, listen, the only reason I found this story fascinating, y'all, is because, you know, in Fort Worth, if you say police are harassing you, they send out the CIT department, which is who I say they call out for Code 13. So it's very interesting to see how they do things in Dallas. They send out, I guess, ATF in Dallas when you have a situation like that. But over here they send out the CIT. I don't know. It's just crazy. Wow, Reggie, I don't know what to tell you. Anything else you want to tell us about that story? And I mean, what are you hoping will happen in the case? What are you hoping the conclusion will be, or the resolution will be?
What I'm doing is I'm trying to bring light to what's going on about how the city and then deputy police uses their resources and their tax dollars to offend, oppress, and obfuscate justice on this side of town, whereas things like people get better justice they live in on the north end. And the other thing I'm bringing light to is the fact that, yes, we definitely need police reform, but police reform has to be all the way around. It has to cover all the bases. But when you have police officers that don't even know what the law is, much less even know what constitutional rights they're violating because they hide behind their badge and hide behind the cachet of they'll get political help to get them out of these things, not to mention the news media who looks the other way more times than often, or they'll do a nice little soundbite story, and then after that they're in the wind. We have to keep people diligent as to what's going on, because, you know, people are dying out here for a whole lot of other ridiculous reasons. But no one should have to be worried about some clown saying that I should be walking and then you know, the police is taking my car because they're trying to help somebody else out who doesn't have a life. So because he doesn't have cars, I shouldn't be walking because he's walking.
I was going to say they play all type of COINTELPRO, you know, little tricks and stuff like that. And
right.
Then if you complain about it, then they pretend like you crazy or whatever. So they have this
like,
inside joke kind of running kind of crazy mentality. But I'm sorry, say what?
No, I was just going to say about Keshawna Copeland. Keshawna Copeland claims she didn't know me, didn't know anything about me and everything, but yet and still this woman lives not even a mile from my residence. She drives by here all the time. She's an NPO, so she is she's like a supervisor, or she has rank with the department, been there about 20 years, and should have known better than to lie on a police report, knowing that's the number one, that's one of the number one things that can get you fired and brought up on criminal charges. Anytime police file a false report and it's proven and it results in stealing someone's property to get sold, that's felony theft. She should be already in the middle of her sentence right now, but then she has cachet with the city, and the city doesn't mind spending taxpayer dollars trying to reset my case over and over and over again to the point where they was hoping something bad would happen to me, and it almost did. From where I'm looking at it, she probably paid him or gave this guy, do a favor, like drop some charges for him or something, and you go out here, take Ruffin out the picture. The only thing that saved my life was that the cross piece on the fence that the guy was shooting on the opposite side of, he shot low enough for the cross metal bar to catch the bullet. And I even called and notified when my neighbor discovered this bullet hole in this fence. We call the police to have them examine it to see if they can, get some ballistics done on it or something, and they haven't come back out and done anything. So that's just basic routine police work.
Wow.
They just drop a name and they're gone.
Wow. But you know what? You know, and I know. I feel your pain because I'm dealing with the same thing. So you absolutely know. I feel your pain. Well, keep us up to date on any changes in your situation. But I definitely know how, you know, it goes day to day. Y'all, it's like you keep hitting brick walls. I mean, seriously, no matter who you complain to, you just keep seeming like you hit brick walls.
Right. Well, I mean, I reported to everything, like FBI. I reported to the DA's office for their, criminal ethics commission, and then you got the same integrity unit for the police department, but they all just gonna sit there and swallow their whoopers because they rather keep dirty cops out on the street than to get them out and get some new cops in here because, you know, we just can't keep handling it. We can't keep handling it. Like, because see, if I had went out there and confronted her about her towing my car, and I get shot, then other than saying civil rights activist shot and killed trying to steal his cars that was trying to take his cars back that was illegally parked, and then that would have been the end of it. I mean, I knew she was out there. I saw her when he was taking the cars, but wasn't no sense of me going outside. I just knew I had to go to Plan B. And when I filed the injunction to have that stopped, they just decided to keep from returning the cars back. They'll just sell the cars. And they sold the cars a day before they alleged to have been served the court papers, as if the Allen building is like 10 miles away from City Hall. I mean, they're about not even a half mile away from each other. So I know they got the paperwork in time. They just decided we're going to go a little further on this.
Wow.
And then when you go down and talk to City Hall, and then your city councilwoman won't even come out and sit out there and preside with you while you're making your speech to the city, shows, you know, another level of tasteless, classless politics. That is perfect.
Who's your city council? Who's your city council person?
Carolyn King Arnold.
Wow. Wow.
And she got reelected because, you know, everybody thinks they know who and what she is, what she stands for. But at the end of the day, it's all selective. All we have now is political celebrities. We need political advocates to stand up for the citizens, for the constituents to get voted in that they have. And you definitely don't have it here. I mean, they play the race card from top to bottom. And that's part of the reason why they inserted why we have Eric Johnson here. He's like now he's Mike Rollins in blackface.
Wow. We're gonna move on after that one. Listen, thank you though, Reggie, for stopping by tonight and telling us your story. Because y'all, listen, I just wanted to put just a little emphasis on the fact that a lot of these cases which sound bizarre to other people that may seem like, oh my God, the police ain't doing that or the police wouldn't do that. Yet it will. Yet it will. I mean, and some of the stuff is so, it seems outlandish, you know, if you've never, ever experienced it. But they absolutely can happen. So just, you know, trying to let y'all know it don't just happen in Fort Worth. It happens a whole lot of places. But thank you, Reggie, for stopping by tonight. I appreciate you telling your story. Listen, y'all. Thank you. Listen, if you just tuned in tonight, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth, and I'm Carrie Hines, your host. And now we're about to move on to Hot Topics, y'all. And we got Mr. Gordon Sims holding on, and I appreciate Gordon for coming through tonight because one of the things I mentioned in Hot Topics was the fact that we were going to talk about the fact that according to Gordon, the building that houses the Tatiana Jefferson mural has been sold. Good evening, Gordon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Ms. Hines?
Good. Thank you so much for stopping by. Tell us a little bit about what you know about the building being sold that houses the Tatiana Jefferson mural.
Well, let's preface with this. I don't know if the building has been sold or not. What I do know is when Ms. Patrice Jones was organizing the mural for Tatiana, I was there to help. and I did a lot of cleanup, and I helped organize with such things. As far as who owns it now, I'm not sure. But I took my youngest son to his 18-month checkup earlier, which was in the neighborhood, and drove by, and there's a damn food truck parked in front of it. And I'm not okay with that.
Okay,
I'm not okay with that.
I was looking on your page, and it was brought to my attention on your I don't follow you, but I will from now on. But I saw on your page where you said that a young entrepreneur had the building now. Where did you get that information from?
No, somebody commented that on my page.
Oh, somebody.
I didn't say that. Somebody commented that on my post. They were commenting and saying that a young entrepreneur. I'm sorry. Go ahead, ma'am. I don't want to interrupt you.
Okay, I'm sorry. So I'm interrupting
you.
No,
you're good. Go ahead. You're good. Go ahead.
Okay. My point is, who is they, and do they have some knowledge about the building being sold? And let me tell you why I'm asking this, George Gordon. It's because I really do believe it's totally possible. I do believe that it's totally that the building is an eyesore for the city right now. I can totally believe that the city would backdoor a deal and buy that building because that case is coming up, and it will be a constant
reminder.
Yeah, because
they want to ignore it.
Yeah.
They want to ignore it.
Right. It's so,
and
it's
Tatiana's life is priceless. I remember her not from personal experience, but I remember her because she's part of the reason why I got involved in the movement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as who owns it now, like I said, I don't know. That was a comment that you might have read on a post that I made, because I drove by there earlier, and there's a food truck right in front of it. And it upsets
me. No, I'm saying I saw that. I'm agreeing with you. I saw it on your page.
Yeah, I don't. I'm. You know, a couple of other people commented on that post. Hold on, son. Sorry. I have a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and an 18-month-old. So you're probably going to hear some kids in the background.
Okay.
It upsets me. It doesn't matter what color you are, what kind of business you're running. Don't block that mural. If you're from the city, you know how important that mural is. Mm-hmm. And it kind of seemed like exploitation. Like you're trying to make a dollar off of a corner that you've never been on before. And that upsets me. I'm not okay with that. Her life was priceless. And it seems like a lot of people are putting a monetary value on her life now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not okay with that.
Okay,
we're not going to get into that, ma'am. It's just having me on your podcast, or on your call or whatever, my name is not synonymous right now, and it's not loved right now, because I've called out local black leadership for taking advantage of the movement and monopolizing off of it. But what I can say is her life is priceless, and a food truck should not be in front of her mural, period. I don't care who owns it. Those are my feelings about it.
I find the timing very suspect. You know, August was supposed to be the month, you know, that it was the case was supposed to go to trial. Aaron D. was supposed to go to trial for the shooting
yes,
that caused
ma'am.
The death of Montana. And so I just find it very suspect that, you know, a month before, now they just pull a truck right in front of the mural when the rest of the side of the building is open and it's facing.
I find it suspect, too, ma'am. That building occupies the whole corner. So it's not just they didn't have just one option of where they could put the truck. They chose to put that truck there. I find it suspect, too.
I'm looking at the picture on your Facebook page now, and I'm thinking they could have put it on the whole other side of the building, which was really
the whole other side. Yes, ma'am. When Miss Patrice Jones was organizing to get that mural painted, you know, I was there, and I helped clean it up, and they have that whole block, that whole corner.
Right.
I find it suspect, too.
Well, see, y'all, this is my thought. Y'all can go tell the city. I don't care. But this is what I think. I think, first of all, if the building suddenly gets sold, it's going to be because the city bought it. That's just going to be my opinion. And I think it would be because it's an eyesore care for the city, and it's going to be a constant reminder that they didn't do it right. They didn't do right by Tatiana Jefferson's family, because it's being rumored that things are not going to go the way that the community wants it to go in that particular case. So I think by, you know, buying that building, if that is the case, if someone does have some knowledge about that, that would make a whole lot of sense that they would want to do that because of what Aaron Deep did. And also
what they're trying to do, in my opinion, you know, I'm a white man. I can't ever speak from experience of being a black person. My wife is black. I have black children. The most important people in this world to me are black. What I see is that they're trying to disguise it, and they're trying to appease the movement. What they did a few months back, I'm not sure if you know or not, but they named it a Tatiana Jefferson Parkway. So they gave it a few street signs. So is her life worse than street signs? Is that all it's worth?
No. I won't take away from the street signs, because I think James Smith worked really hard to get those. That street sign.
He did.
So
it's not enough. For me, it's not enough.
But he did.
And I'm not going to discount what he did. For me, it's not enough. I need more than street signs.
The street sign is not going to be enough, but it's a nice gesture. And I think Mr. Smith's efforts should not go unnoticed. I think that was a good thing.
Not at all. I mean, you're absolutely right. But like you just said, it's a nice gesture. It's a gesture. It's not justice. It's a gesture.
Okay. We can.
You understand what I mean?
But don't take away from the hard work that Mr. Smith had to go through.
No, I'm not. No, ma'am. I'm not trying to discount that at all. I'm not.
Okay.
I'm just giving my opinion from what I've seen.
And it just
seems like a gesture.
Okay. Well, then tell me this. Let's move on. We won't debate about that. Let's talk about this mission statement. On this picture you have, you're stating, or someone is stating, that the mission statement for the building has changed. Someone said that the new mission statement is to create a livable environment between urban community and police. Who changed that?
So,
I'm sorry?
I stated that, and the mission statement originally with the Tatiana Project was to build STEM environments for underprivileged kids. And the Tatiana Project filed a lawsuit, and her family filed a lawsuit against the city for reparations for her untimely death. And the day, within the week of them filing that lawsuit, the mission statement changed from creating STEM centers for kids, for urban kids, to building a working relationship with cops.
Okay,
it's funny to me. It doesn't sit right with me. There's something that doesn't sit right there with me personally.
Malik, do you know anything about this, Malik?
I mean, I don't get caught up in sensationalism. A lot of people took what I brought attention to and took it for themselves. Don't nobody have no more views than I had. I was the first one to get to make this whole thing go global. So, I mean, I'm like the gentleman said, until we get some policies and statutes changed, I'm not satisfied with that sign either. I'm from the South. You know, then you can't do that to glaze me over. You know what I'm saying? And this man even made it to trial, and that's absurd. That's ridiculous. I'm with that gentleman. These gestures is just not enough. I applaud Mr. James for doing what he's doing, but I'm not satisfied as an individual who walked in the backyard and discovered the truth. I discovered the truth, me and Comrade Brady.
Who are you, sir? I'm sorry. What was your name?
I'm Brother Malik. I'm with the Brotherhood Movement.
Okay. I just wanted to know your name, brother. That's all.
Okay. Yeah. I agree with him, Sister Carrie, because what the brother is saying is that, you know, little attaboys is just not enough. It's not justice. and that it shouldn't be defined that way. I can kind of agree with him. People are profiting off certain things when it comes to the system. And I didn't put myself out there or my group or my constituents out there like that in such a way for it to turn for the way I'm seeing it, you know. So, you know, if that's what they want to do, you know, so be it, you know. I got other fights to fight in this city.
So we got a crisis that's
bigger than Tatiana Jefferson right now.
I was put in a position of leadership with a local movement, with a local group that is leading the Fort Worth movement. And I am speaking on some foul things that I've seen. And I am against black exploitation in any form. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who's doing it. Whether you're white, black, brown, yellow, if you're exploiting black people, you're not helping the cause. And I'm against that. I was born and raised in East Fort Worth. I've lived here for 30 years.
Can you elaborate on how it's being exploited?
No, ma'am. Not without naming names, and I don't want to do that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, I'm just trying to get it clear.
There's leadership within local movements that are using that leadership to further their platform and monopolizing off of it.
I think the picture just came in focus. I'm gonna leave that alone. So are you speaking of an individual or several individuals?
Several.
Oh wow.
They know who they are. It's okay. If they're going to hear this, they know who they are. But I'm not going to keep speaking on things when I'm going to just be painted as another white oppressor. I'm not. I call out bullshit. I want black people to win the same way that I win as a white man. I want everybody to win. But I've called bullshit out, and I've been crucified for it. So, no, I'm not going to name names and keep going down that rabbit hole, ma'am.
Okay. Well, no. Well, you know, I don't want to get you beat up or nothing like that, so we don't leave that alone.
That's okay. That's all right. Ain't nobody going to beat me up. We're good. We're good.
Okay.
I'm a man, and I stand on what I said, and I stand on what I believe. I'm a man.
Okay.
The most important people in this world to me. Go ahead.
I saw some of your comments on your post. So yeah, I'd say you're in there kind of deep. So you know, you obviously feel like you're
a little bit.
You're gonna be okay. I'm just glad. So this is where I'm going to say this on that. I'm going to leave it alone. I really do believe that it's totally possible. Whoever posted that said that the building has been sold. I would think it would be sold the Fort Worth way for the city of Fort Worth to buy that building. I would think they would probably offer that guy an incredible amount of money to buy that building so they could make that mural go away. And I will say this, y'all.
I
I'm going to tell y'all something. I can see how this can go. I can see it going one or two ways. Suddenly, either the building catches on fire and the mural is destroyed, or suddenly somebody...
Like the George Floyd mural that got struck by lightning a couple of days ago, right?
Okay, let me finish.
Yeah.
Or someone goes and does some graffiti on the building suddenly, and so then it's going to, you know, get all of a sudden completely painted again, and they're going to promise to put the mural
back
up.
That's already happened.
And the mural never gets...
That's already happened. Yeah, it's already happened. They've already tried to destroy that building a couple of times.
Let me finish. Okay, and so...
Yes, ma'am. I'm
totally,
sorry.
That's okay. I can just totally see how coming up on this trial that would be the meeting place or the meetup place when people got upset about what could possibly happen with the Aaron Dean case in the event that things don't turn out like the community feels like they should.
They're not going to. It's not going to turn out right.
No, I already know.
I can feel it in my soul. It's not going to.
Okay.
I got inside.
I can feel it in my soul. It's not going to turn out right.
Y'all can see how this building is like a bad eyesore for the city. So them putting this food truck up there is just the beginning. And trust me, in a couple of days or a month, something else will happen to the building, and that will be that on that. Maybe the food truck causes a fire. Who knows? But I'm just saying,
okay.
FYI, that is something
so
to
my,
watch for.
My question to you is this. What do we do? What do we do?
You know what? The city has probably bought the building, so you can't do anything other than follow the money and see who bought the building. But you're probably never going to find out because they just put it in somebody's name, and that's just going to be how
that
appears.
For Tatiana? What can we do for that queen? What can we do for her?
Well, you can try
to
get
the laws. When the dust settle, bro, you got to challenge legislation and get bills passed. That's what the main objective for everybody that's dealing with this. I don't have time for this sensationalism.
And
I've seen a whole bunch of non-indigenous people jumping on board after I got over 3 million views behind this shit.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I was the first one to bark and roar at Fort Worth. So, it's like I said, other things are going on in this city other than this particular issue. We got kids shooting kids over gossip.
Right.
Internet platforms that I'm working on now. Those shut down. So, really, in reality, people going to do what they want to do. If you try to control grown people, man, it's just a waste of time. You know, all thing we got to do is just see how this stuff roll out and, man, do what you know is in your heart, brother. Do what you know is right, and don't worry about the rest of them.
Well, that's true, too. That's true.
Okay,
not
to interrupt your platform, man, but since you're on the phone, brother, as a white man, should I not call out black leadership when I see them doing fuck shit?
Yeah. Because I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Well, you just said
it's evil on both sides.
But you just said you didn't
I mean,
want to
what are you saying? Right is right and wrong is wrong. If you see wrong and you don't do nothing about it, you're part of it. I take it that's what the man is
that's
saying.
That's how I feel.
That
you
don't want to be part of that evil, man.
I don't. You're right.
Wow. Well, Gordon, is there anything else you want to add to that, to about the story? Because we appreciate you stopping by on such short notice.
No,
because
I just want to say thank you just for giving me a minute to, express things that I've seen. And just to say I appreciate you. That's all. That's it.
Well, thank you. Thank you again for stopping by. Yeah, that was Mr. Gordon Sims. Found out very late about his Facebook page and some information about that at Tatiana Jefferson mural. And I really believe that y'all need to watch that story real close, because if it hasn't happened, it's probably about to happen. But let's move on. First of all, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Last Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. And we're talking about hot topics tonight. What's going on in Fort Worth? And I think the biggest story this week, Malik, was that hit and run that happened over there on Strong Street. And then the whole thing spilled over on the Bright Street where the suspect allegedly lives. And just the story just got all out of it got big. Let's just say that it got big. But what happened was little Josiah JoJo Dunn, I understand, was out riding his bicycle with his brother, and a truck comes down the street and hits JoJo and keeps going. And some kind of way the mother was able to, and correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, Malik, the mother was able to go to the store and pull the store's footage. I'm not sure how she knew that the person had just come from the store, but she goes to the store and she gets the footage, and then they track down the truck, which was over on Strong Street, and then they look in the backyard and somebody is trying to take off the bumper and the license plate of the truck, and then they get police involved. And, when police did not move quickly enough, a lot of people in the community came out, and then they ended up protesting and blocking off Bright and Berry. Did I get all that right, Malik?
Well, as far as the truck, that was the truck. They discovered the truck on Bright Street at the residence.
Okay.
And that's the only thing. The where the accident happened was on Strong, but they tracked it down to Bright Street, and that's when they discovered them trying to take the bumper off, trying to hide evidence, you know, obstructing justice. But yeah, that was a very intense moment. We was able to come out, you know, because I didn't know the particulars until really actually Monday. My team didn't know Monday. I spoke to some other people that had been around there, and I asked, was everything all right? Do we need to come out there? Because that Sunday, we was doing a Stop the Violence. And so we took our movie to Arlington Lake and made a showing at Arlington Lake. But had we known what I discovered that following Monday about young comrade JoJo, we would have went out there that Sunday. And so we was able to miraculously get this guy arrested because we was very tactical and strong about our stance. And when we went into this particular formation, if you've seen it on that sidewalk in front of the gentleman's house, so it seemed like 25 minutes later, they said the warrant was on the way. You know,
that
then 25 minutes.
That was crazy. I did see that. It was like Chris Netto shows up, and then you all do the formation, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden they said, we made an arrest.
Yeah. I said, no, they got – see, they didn't know Chris was going to arrive. Chris just came in from vacation. Chris mm-hmm. got a call, and Chris notified Jenna, and he said he going out there. But mm-hmm. when we shifted, and the gentleman that was at the residence comes out on the porch, like, with no empathy and no sympathy or nothing. Hey, I'm sorry, y'all, you know, nothing. He on the phone running his mouth. So, you know, that ran me hot. So me and my comrade, you know, we flanked out and got in the formation, you know, and when we got in the formation, the crowd shifted, then the police officers came down there to try to de-escalate. And so as we was holding position, we, 25 minutes later, you know, we get the word, oh, the warrant's on the way.
You know,
then 25 minutes, seemed like 25, 30 minutes after that, you know, Councilman Netto shows up, and then everything sped up, Sister Hines.
I saw that.
They went to hopping around when Chris came out there, and I was like, which, you know, I thank that, brother, because he just came in for a vacation, and he could have stayed at home because that wasn't even his district, you know what I'm saying? But he felt noble enough to come out and show his support and his concern about Comrade JoJo, that he made sure that arrest was made on his watch. And that's the type of councilman that we need, pure integrity and care about the people. I mean, he is the people's champ, for as I'm concerned, because he could have stayed at home, you know what I'm saying, like the rest of them. And when we have things that severe, all our city council people should have been out there with the people, you know what I'm saying? So I get a lot of things that you say because they do work for us. And he mm-hmm. showed me in his short term, you know, a lot of integrity. That's the only word I can use for him. He showed me a lot of integrity.
I had bad respect for him going out there as well. So, because I believe that was Gina Bivens's district, but I think she has an issue with her foot, so I don't think she could come out there.
Yes, ma'am.
But Chris, that was like, I got mad respect for how he did that. The thing is, why did they have the people sit out in the heat for 2 days? I thought the police kind of failed the community in a lot of ways with how they handled it.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I spoke some. The commanding officers, like, why does it take this long when it comes to our troops? From my understanding, they came out there because it got tense that for 2 days, when the day it happened and that Sunday, you know, the police run out there, it seemed like they was out there more to, from my understanding, more to protect the Hispanic family. And when they came up, a lot of the Hispanic family began to leave because, dude, he got these little small shacks back there that he's probably, you know, housing illegals. Because we seen, you know, we had our drone up. So, and also it looked like he running some type of chop shop back there.
Mm.
And so, you know, what we did show Fort Worth PD, that one officer that was out there talking about, ooh, y'all very tactical. Ooh. He said, and y'all disciplined too. But this same particular officer, he told the sergeant and the commander, he said, let those guys handle it. They got it. They know what they're doing, you know what I'm saying? And they are able to, you know, deal with our people. So after the arrest was made, you know, the sister, JoJo's mother, Mimi, she gave a statement which said she was satisfied with the results. She didn't want any violence, you know, for us to disperse. And what she needed was prayer for her baby, in which I can understand that. She showed me a lot of resilience as a black woman, straight queen warrior. You know what I'm saying? You know, straight queen warrior when it come to her son, her baby. And she was very relentless. She could have stirred up the hornet's nest anytime she wanted to. You know what I'm saying? Right. And it could have went ugly, but she showed me a lot of maturity. And we all collectively, to me, that was a community effort to get justice. Yeah. And I think it was a prime example of what community was, Sister Carrie, things that we talk about all the time. Seems like all that hood stuff went out the window.
That's great. I agree. You know, I'm gonna say this. I think Fort Worth PD did some things right, and then I think they did a lot of things not right. One thing I think that they did right was it was wonderful to see Commander Elgin go out there. You know what I'm saying? Go out on the ground and try to calm the situation.
Right.
I thought that was a power move. I thought absolutely that was a power move. And I thought the officer by the name of Daugherty, I kept hearing people say he knew how to talk to the people. He was good at bringing the situation down a peg. And I thought that was very good too. So I thought both of those. And then it was a white officer with a cowboy hat on.
That's the gentleman I was talking about. He the one told us that we were very tactical and disciplined. And he was able to talk to the sergeant, like, you know, man, these cats are really about, you know, are taking control of the situation. You know what I'm saying? So we don't need to be as a don't agitate the, don't stir up the hornet's nest, really. Because I'm going to tell you, Sister Carrie, them brothers, Sean, them young bloods was ready to go.
No. See,
I ain't gonna repeat what this young brother told me, but it could have went there. Let's put it that way. But we didn't want it to go there.
See,
only thing
know,
we asked was for justice.
And there was there was some agitators and some provocateurs out there too. I saw some of that. I don't know if people, you know, if everybody picked up on that.
I mean, when we out there, I mean, he knew he was out there. I know he used to work for Walker the Hood Tour you talking about. But we showed him something different because we didn't come at him in no type of way. We didn't come at him being belligerent. You know what I'm saying? We stayed on task. It was to make sure we got justice.
Wow. See, this is what I think the family of JoJo felt like the police was empathizing with the suspect family. Was that the vibe out there? Did I lose my leg? I think something happened to Melissa. Listen, y'all, what I noticed from watching the video, and I did not go out there because it looked very tense for a minute, in my opinion, and I did not like the location. It seemed like a very tight street, and I felt like with all those cars and all those people on that street, anything could happen, and it was not conducive for a good exit in case something happened. So I decided that it was better to watch it online than it was to go out there. Because a lot of times, you know, when things are already tense, adding more people to a situation like that doesn't always make it better. Also noticed that not making an arrest in a timely manner, they had all the information. They had who the suspect was, the truck, the picture of the truck, the video footage. And I just really didn't understand why Fort Worth PD took so long to make the arrest and or at least to calm the situation down. It seemed like to have the people sitting out in the heat for 2 days while the Fort Worth Police Department kept saying, we're trying to get a warrant, we're trying to get a warrant. I just think that was just strange to me. That your phone line's back open, Malik. But I just thought it didn't take 2 days to do that. If that had been a black man that had hit like a white child, let's just say, not playing the race card, it wouldn't have taken 2 days to get that warrant. You agree with that, Malik?
I agree 110%. That's why I addressed him out there now. Sir, if it was in Tanglewood and this happened, I said y'all would have used that person would have got arrested without the same day, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. And they could have just went to the house and said, yeah, that's the truck. Seriously. For real. If it, like
that
you said,
simple. It seemed like to me it was, I think when we came out there the way we came, that's when it clicked in with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, let me ask you this, Malik. This is what I'm confused about. Okay, you all say that the mother was very satisfied with what happened, but they said a 15-year-old was driving the truck. Who says a 15-year-old could even drive? So why was it just taken on their word that the 15-year-old could drive the car? I mean, with everybody
see,
else saying you don't drive.
They showed her the gentleman. I was next to her when they showed her to her, and she said, yeah, that's him. You know, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to speak. I can't speak too much on it because it is a criminal case. So I'm careful about what I say. But they showed her and JoJo's father. They identified the cat, you know what I'm saying? And so I took it from that perspective. That slow moving is, I agree with you, sister, that's just sorry. That's a bunch of sorry. Should take us coming out there because they weren't anticipating, you know, us coming out the way that we came, and they was like, "Oh, light bulb goes off." You know what I'm saying? These cats ain't playing.
Well, I saw y'all swinging those assault rifles, and I'm thinking to myself, "Oh, this thing got serious now." I mean, I'm sure that was tense. I mean, for those people up in that house.
I mean, we look at it from the perspective, Sister Carrie, that JoJo is all our babies. You know what I'm saying? He's each and every comrade's son. You know, and that's the way we look at it. If you that negligent and you don't, what they showed us that you don't care about black children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even some people that was on that street didn't agree way, you know, his attitude was towards the young brother. He worried about trying to save his son instead of saying, hey, I'm sorry, I apologize, you know, I can understand your point, you know, take your son to authorities and get it rectified. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you went in. He first thing they went in into is fugitive mode.
Cool.
And
well,
then for
you
to have your son to do some. Then a little dude also stated because the cat that was with him, the brother that was with him, talking about the Mexican told him, get your ass out the street. She got get your ass out the street.
That,
you know
that
what
was
saying?
My next question. Do you believe it was an accident or do you think he do it on purpose?
No. I can't say. I can't clarify that because I was not there. But think about it, even though if you did it on purpose or whatever you did, you still kept going, bro. You had no empathy for human life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If you did it by accident, most people by accident are going to stop and try to render aid. You didn't try to render aid. This boy was in ICU fighting for his life. So that's where our heat and our emotions got involved. And like anybody else, we got to understand JoJo was fighting for his life.
But see, the crazy thing is, this is just me, and I had this conversation with another person. It's like, you know, if a 15-year-old is not even supposed to be driving, and then he hits somebody, it just seems to me that the last thing he would be thinking is to make a comment. So I just think,
and if
I
you,
just,
if you
I
don't
just,
like
I'm
black a, people,
okay.
if you don't
okay.
like black people, like a lot of Hispanics don't,
then why?
I don't know why we
black-
got put in that trick bag, but you know. That attitude starts from the home.
But you're living in a black community, going to school with black kids. I mean, like,
it don't make no difference. That's how they are.
Wow, that would be upbringing.
I'm not
going to
put any blame on all Hispanics, because the Hispanics up here are totally different from the ones that are in south of us, around Austin and San Antonio. Those are different type of Hispanic people, because they are more blended with the African culture, because you it ain't nothing to see a biracial, half Hispanic, half black child run around there, and you know, on that end, you know, it ain't no biggie. So it's not that tension in between the blacks and Hispanics, because you know, they look at family, you know what I'm saying? Family is family. Once once y'all choose to have children, whatever, they see you as family.
So let me ask you, did Chief Noakes ever come out there?
No.
Wow.
No. It was just the commanding officer. Commanding officers out there. Like I said, really, what can you say? Of course, anybody going to be high, strong in emotions when something happened like that about their child. You know, I really don't give a rat's about the little dude. My main concern was about, you know, young brother JoJo, you know, helping his sister any way that we can, you know. So we've got soldiers taking turns watching her residence since we've been out there. So we've been in rotation.
You know, one thing I saw, and I heard somebody say on one of the videos, is that the officers were talking to the suspect's family while other Hispanic
mm-hmm.
people were coming out of the house with luggages
yeah.
and duffel bags.
Yeah, yeah.
And leaving. Is that true?
Yeah. Yep, that's true.
I mean, that's crazy. How did the officer not know they weren't involved in the situation?
Man, that shows a lot of incompetence with our police officers. Common sense is like, why are these people leaving? Common sense ought to tell you that they are not American citizens.
So you believe that there were a bunch of illegals in there that were just coming out because they didn't want to
drive? I know. From, man, I do all kinds of work, you know. They running shops, auto shops, in their backyards. Them running stealing heavy equipment, selling. I ain't seen all kinds of stuff out of that. Like I said, we had drones, so we ain't guessing. Guess what?
We can't hear you clearly. Something happened to your phone. Your muffled.
I said we had a drone up, so we got to see everything.
Did y'all?
Yeah.
So they got a chop shop and a bunch of shacks in the backyard.
Yeah.
Only in part. So did anybody call code compliant?
Yeah. We reported.
I heard y'all saying stuff like, we're gonna call code. Somebody was like, we're gonna call ICE. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
So did other agencies get called? Huh? Did ICE get called? Uh-oh, something's going on with Malik. Something happened to Malik's phone. But, yeah, I was hearing them say things like, we had to call Code, we had to call ICE, and they were calling every agency imaginable, or saying that they were going to call every agency imaginable. So I saw a lot going on some of those videos, and it was just very interesting to see that so many people, I mean, really, from the Fort Worth community and surrounding the areas were coming out and giving food and water and their support. So it was like Malik said, it was a community effort, I guess, because everybody was concerned about little JoJo and how he was doing. But y'all need to go back and watch the video if you haven't already. I understand now that the family of Little JoJo is being harassed. That was what Malik was alluding to, that they have had to go out and provide security for the family since this happened, because everything went down, the mother has been getting harassing phone calls. And also, I understand that somebody's been, like, driving by, you know, and making really loud noises as they drove by. So the family is feeling, I guess, a little concerned about their safety right through here. And I know they did a GoFundMe account of the initial, I think, amount they were requesting was like $8,000. But after the situation occurred where the threats start coming in, I think they have upped that GoFundMe account to $30,000. I think they're needing to relocate pretty quickly, due to whatever's going on out there. And I understand Little JoJo has even come home from the hospital. He's got some issues, I think, with sight, you know, bright lights and things like that. And I think he's struggling with some broken legs or something to that effect, and maybe facing a surgery even coming up. But I just question why the Fort Worth Police Department allowed the situation to get so tense. I think that it was a situation in which it was pretty clear just watching. You know, I know sometimes when you're watching something on the computer, it may not be exactly the same feeling if you're on the ground, but it was pretty clear things were getting out of control when they, you know, took and pitched the tent in the middle of Berry Street and blocked the whole street off with cars and everything else, that the people were demanding that they get some justice. And they were not afraid at all about how they were asking for it. And so I just wonder why the police department allowed it to get that far out of control before they did something. Because I think the family felt even forced to do their own investigation. The mother, I heard her on several videos saying how she had to go and get the camera footage, that she had to track the suspect down, that she had to do everything because she felt like the police department wasn't doing all they could do. And I just thought that was very interesting that it got to that particular point. And why did the police department allow what could have been potentially a deadly situation when you have, you know, two different races, you know, one person feeling like the child could have been killed, and the child being so small and being in critical care or seeking, or in, I guess, getting critical care for their injuries, and then the other person they feel is trying to get away by changing the license plate and taking off bumpers to the truck. So that the whole thing, y'all, I don't know. I don't want to stir the pot, but yeah, something about that whole thing just doesn't feel right. I can't even tell you what it is, but it just feels like it almost felt like a race war was about to take place, and I just didn't understand why it had to get to that particular point before the police stepped in and said, we have the suspect under arrest. Now, this is the question, y'all. Listen, I'm a conspiracy theorist, so, you know, it is what it is. But how did they take him into custody? Did he surrender, or did they take him out of the house? Because the family was there darn near 48 hours, so along with a whole lot of other people. So I just question, at what point was this person taken into custody? That's just me. What's their name? Like, are they still under arrest? Do they have a bond? You know, those questions that, like, people just want to know. Like, just because you say he's 15, and I know they say the whole thing about, you know, children have the right because they're minors and things like that not to be outed, if you will, but they say that Judge Kim does those hearings on the internet all the time where people are watching these juveniles go in and out of his court. So it couldn't be just about that, right? So I just wonder, like, you know, when was he arraigned? Does he have a bond? What are the charges? Was the other person in the truck charged? What is his statement in terms of why he did it the way he did it? Why was the father not charged with tampering with evidence? Why wasn't the mother charged for being allegedly in the truck with him? You know, just so many questions that don't seem to have answers. But I ain't gonna be the one to start nothing, but I'm just saying that don't make sense to me. And for anybody who hadn't thought of it, I'm going to put it out there for you. That doesn't make sense. Why didn't the police department go to every house on Strong Street and Bright Street and see if they had cameras? Because what one person's camera may have not caught, another person's camera may have caught it. So why did they not canvass the area, speaking to anybody who may have seen anything, just checking cameras just to see, what really happened, just that kind of thing. Because the video that I saw, it showed the truck, and it showed it hit something, but you couldn't clearly see from the angle that the camera was at. But there may have been other cameras in the area that could have had a much better view of the accident itself. So, yeah, that part. So just a lot of questions that don't really add up about that particular situation. And I think the police department needs to work on its response to how they handle situations like that. And, you know, it's going to be a hot summer, and things are already tense with so many people having guns on the street. And that could have turned deadly, you know, so quickly. And so with that, why would our, you know, community need to have gone into, you know, war with each other over something that originally has been figured out so quickly? I mean, I've never seen anybody investigate like that mother did. But she did come up with who, what, when, where, and how. And so when she turned that information over to the police department, I just don't understand why they would allow it to get to a tense situation where somebody, you know, could have, let's just say the Mexicans could have felt very threatened. Who knows, you know, they could have felt like, you know, their lives were in danger and they start shooting. Or, you know, the other side could have thought they saw something that put their lives in danger and start shooting. So you just wonder, why would the police department allow people to be that close in proximity to each other, you know, with, you know, weapons were probably in the Hispanic people's houses as well. So why would you put the community in harm's way when doing the right thing would have resolved the thing really quickly? Just going in and making an arrest based on what you saw on the camera footage. And I know, you know, this isn't a 30-minute TV series. I get that part. But I don't think it took 2 days to do it either. And I'm not saying I understand everything about police work, but I just think having those people sit out there in that heat for 2 days with tempers flaring, I just don't see that being a smart thing. And so, FYI for RPD, that part right there, I don't agree with. But I do think Commander Eldridge going to the scene was a wonderful move on the part of the Fort Worth Police Department for him to step up and say, I'm going out there and I'm going to talk to the community and address what happened. So, y'all, that's my soapbox on that. I just didn't see everything going like it should have. I was Monday morning quarterbacking and thinking the whole time what should have, could have, would have gone down had things gone differently. But the incident itself revealed that the community is, in my opinion, very volatile right now, and that the racial tension was thick. And I just think, I'm going to be very careful with my words, I just think that it was to the situation that just the wrong person saying the wrong thing at the right time to the wrong person could have set it off right here in Fort Worth. And that was the scary part, that we don't need that right now on top of everything else that's going on wrong in this city. And so I really do commend everybody that went out there, that had a cool head and decided not to take it to the next level. Even though, you know, justice didn't look like it would go get served at certain point, but the people kept a calm head anyway and decided that they were just going to wait it out no matter how long it took. And I commend anybody who can do that in these Texas heat in this Texas heat and not lose it. But anyway, I'm gonna leave that alone. But I did see some gaslighters, some provocateurs, and some agitators out there. And to y'all, I say shame on you. And those cameras, those videos, do not lie. And there was some agitators and some provocateurs. And I say that anytime you try to set it off in your own community, shame on you. All right, so I'm going to move on from that. I didn't say it. I said it, and I meant it. Y'all, we're going to talk about that budget thing, whatever that was, on Fort Worth TV last night. And it was no slight to Mr. McAvoy, because I'm trying to get him on the show, so I definitely don't want to offend him. But I didn't understand your presentation, sir. I'll be honest with you. We're going to need you to break it down so that a first grader will understand it. That's the numbers, the boxes that they go in, and all that. We're going to need another graph to just break down all this money, because it's a whole lot of money we're talking about, and we're just going to need you to pretend like you're talking to first graders, and we just need another breakdown. Because we was watching last night, and And then Bob Willoughby, shame on you. Bob Willoughby got up at about the 45-minute mark. They take questions, right? And so Bob Willoughby decides to get up and call my name and tell them about Kerry Hines did a show and said the city is $2.4 billion in the red. And I'm thinking, I didn't know Bob was going to say that, y'all. I really didn't. And so Bob then gone and pissed the people off. And he said some other things, too. But he mentioned Kerry Hines and Let's Talk Fort Worth. And I just thought, like, dang, Bob, I stand in enough trouble with the city all by myself. And then Bob's going down there and pissing them off and calling my name. But I just think we just need a little bit more clarity. I don't mean no harm, city, but I just think we need just a little bit more of a breakdown. Just kind of got to break it down a little bit more. I have a few more charts that are user-friendly so that we can kind of see how much money goes in which box and which part do we vote on and how do we decide which box we choose not to participate in, that part. So anyway, y'all, I'm going to leave that alone because I want Mr. McAvoy to come on. I have sent him a voicemail today. I didn't get a response back, but I absolutely asked him to come on and just talk to us just a little bit about the money. That part. Because it didn't seem like, and I think, let me be clear who he is. Mr., I think his name is Mark McAvoy, or I know it's Mr. McAvoy. He's with the analytics department, the planning and data analytics department. He's the director, in fact. And so I was shocked at one of the questions that he had last night when he referred to someone, and I'm not sure who he was referring to, and he says, I don't think this particular session has anything to do with the bond package. And the lady said, oh, yeah, this is the time we talk about the bond package. And so that part right there blew me away. So don't look like nobody really want to talk about that bond package. But Councilwoman Gina Bivens has agreed to come on next Friday for an hour and discuss with us the 2022 bond package. So I'm going to say to y'all, if you're too shy to call into the show, please do me a favor and inbox me on Facebook your message, I mean, not your messages, your questions, because I do not want to miss not a opportunity to ask all the possible questions we could ask about that 2022 bond package so that we get some clarity about how to get involved in the process involves the people have a right to make suggestions. I think it's just about that simple. Not that you are necessarily going to get approved, but you have a right to put in suggestions on how the money should be spent. And things like lights that may be needed on your street, things like sidewalks, yeah, that kind of stuff. And there was some kind of controversy. I think Bob hooked him up or backed him into a corner last night about the bond money had been used in the past to do work on golf courses, and we didn't know it because they had grouped it in the same category that you would group in playground equipment. So Bob made it very clear that when they do it like that, when you vote, you have to vote yes or no. So either you vote for the playground equipment that's also going to help fund the golf course, or you vote, it's either yes or no. Either you vote for or you vote against. But if you said no, then you would be voting against the playground equipment too. So Bob asked them last night, could they break it down into different categories so that we understood that we're going to put $3 million for the golf course, and we're going to also put $650,000 for the playground, as opposed to you putting it all in one category and then asking us to place a vote like that. And I agree with Bob 100% on that, because I think for the lay people like us, that's why we're going to ask for some more boxes in color so we understand golf course versus playground equipment versus sidewalks versus lights, so we understand exactly what we're asking for, so that if we got what we wanted in our request, then we understand that's what we're voting for. If it's not, then we need to understand that as well. And so that's one of those things that came up last night. So, y'all, listen, it's been an interesting week in Fort Worth. That's about all I got tonight. And typically I never sign off early, but y'all haven't been feeling the best today. I mean, yesterday I think I got a little heat stroke. Oh, nice. I'm going to claim that a little overheated doing some yard work. And honest to God, it's been a rough 24 hours. So, like I said, I typically don't log off early, but I think the heat got the best of me yesterday. But, again, next week, Gina Bivens has agreed to come on for an hour to talk about the 2022 bond package. And I thank her for that. She's still recovering from some form of foot surgery, so I appreciate that. Besides that, y'all, listen, pray for your host. I'm out here tonight. I've said a lot. Hopefully nobody is offended. We just do news, and we don't sensationalize it. We just report it. And some things may not be appreciated by some, but it is what it is. So, y'all, listen, until next week, same bad time, same bad channel. I'll see you then. Good night.